Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yep.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is absolutely brilliant. Either it's brilliant or luck. A blessing that just ended, however you want to describe it, I think it's absolute brilliance. So what are the Democrats saying in advance of the Trump rally? What's the fake narrative that they're trying to put out there? They're saying, where is Donald Trump? Well, why is Donald Trump not out there on the campaign trail for a few days? Why is he not holding these rallies for a few days? And why is his VP candidate, J.D. Vance, why is he taking all the spotlight this week? And they're like, why is Donald Trump waiting for this big rally in Bozeman, Montana, Friday night to reappear on the national stage? That's what they're saying. That's what they're putting out there as if, anyway. Which I think is really kind of funny that they're going with that, because all they're doing is hyping the Montana rally even more. But also, you think about it, this is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant what's been going on this week. Look, this is presumably a race between two candidates for president, President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. But Trump is above it all. He's not even stooping down to her level. Instead, it's J.D. Vance versus Kamala Harris. It's J.D. Vance versus Kamala Harris. It's J.D. Vance versus Tim Walz. By the way, I don't know if they realize it yet, but I think the walls are closing in on the Democrats, and the walls are closing in on Tim Walz. Multiple stolen valor issues with this guy. Unbelievable. You know, it begs the question, who failed to vet this guy? Oh, we know who failed to vet this guy. It was a certain Lee newspaper reporter in Minnesota, don't you know, who then became a certain Lee newspaper editor in Montana and now runs a fake news, dark money funded liberal blog. Maybe we'll get to that story here later today. Yeah, he wrote this piece bragging about, oh, we embedded a reporter and, oh, Tim Walz, ah, I mean, give me a break. It was so pathetic. And it's like, huh, you embedded a reporter with the Walz campaign very early on when he started running for office after he ditched his troops and let them go to Iraq. And then he dodged the deployment. But you never bothered to cover these stolen valor issues, huh? Oh, because you were just a propagandist for the Democrat Party instead of actually reporting the news. You had a reporter embedded with this campaign. You should have had this story several years ago. Instead, now leave it to everybody else to cover the story now. Anyway, but this is brilliant because J.D. Vance, man, I'll tell you what, wait till we get to some of the highlights for you here today. So he was on the tarmac, and so was Kamala Harris's plane, Air Force Two. J.D. Vance walks over to the press that was sitting there doing nothing but staring at Air Force Two, because Kamala Harris never does any interviews, hasn't done any interviews like 16 days now. And he does his own press conference and absolutely demolishes Kamala and her whole phony campaign anyway. Absolutely hysterical.
Securing America.
As tensions continue to rise in the Middle East, America's military aims to meet several goals, including supporting Israel and protecting U.S. troops in the region. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says the U.S. is looking to de-escalate threats while also
making sure that we're ready to meet our national security commitments there in the Middle East. And that includes, I would add, protecting and defending our own people and our own facilities.
In the meantime, the five U.S. service members and two U.S. contractors injured in an attack at the Al Asad Air Base in Iraq by Iranian proxies continue to recover. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
And it is incumbent upon the Iraqi government to take steps to prevent attacks in the first place, and when attacks do occur, to fully investigate and hold accountable those parties responsible.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today and a few isolated showers or a thundershower possible towards Bozeman, high temperature readings will stay from the lower 70s around the region. For tonight, isolated shower chance towards Bozeman. Temperatures otherwise headed back in the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. We'll see more isolated shower and storm chances Friday. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, shoot. I thought I snagged that audio of J.D. Vance doing the press conference with the reporters in front of Air Force Two. Mr. Producer, Rich Cementa. At Rich Cementa via X. He's actually the Mr. Producer for Mark Levin. He shared this about 15 hours ago. Boom! J.D. Vance walks over to Air Force Two to mock Kamala Harris. Hopefully it's going to be my plane in a few months. But I also thought you guys may get lonely because the vice president doesn't answer questions from reporters and hasn't for 17 days. I guess now it would be 18 days. So my mistake. I said 16 days. Apparently it's now been 18 days that Kamala Harris has refused to take any serious questions from reporters. Anyway, I'll see if I can track that down. I'll bet RNC research on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, may have that. Oh, man. Yeah, it was absolute brilliance. He tore in to Stolen Valor Tim Walz, Tampon Tim, as many people are calling him. That's Kamala Harris's running mate, for those of you that may have missed the news over the past few days. He's the guy who put tampons in little boys' bathrooms in the schools in Minnesota. And Tampon Tester supports those same types of policies. But this is why I say that the walls are closing in on the Democrats. And the walls are closing in on Tim Walz. In fact, I think it was Kurt Schlichter who shared this. I haven't even gotten my stack of stuff yet because I was busy snagging some Fox News audio clips all the way up till the start of the show. But let's see. I think it was Kurt Schlichter who shared it. It was from Adam Laxalt out of Nevada. Laxalt is saying he doesn't even think Tim Walz, Kamala's running mate, will even make it to the Democrat convention or through the Democrat convention because of all these stolen valor claims. Now, Walz shouldn't make it through the Democrat convention. We'll see. But this is the soundbite. Kurt Schlichter shared this via X, I think, from Mr. Guns in Gear. Listen to what Tim Walz says here.
Hope woke up like many of you did 5 weeks ago and Dad said, Dad, you're the only person I know who's in elected office. You need to stop what's happening with this. I'll take my kick in the butt for the NRA. I spent 25 years in the Army and I hunt. And I gave the money back. And I'll tell you what I have been doing. I've been voting for common sense legislation that protects the Second Amendment. But we can do background checks. We can do CDC research. We can make sure we don't have reciprocal carry among states. And we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons were at.
Oh, yeah, such a tough guy there. Did you hear that last part? Lots to chew on here. Did you hear the last part? Let me play it again so I get the words precise for you here. Hold on. Let me see if I got queued it up in the right spot.
And we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons were at.
And we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war... Tim Walz never went to war. Tim Walz dodged the war deployment. He was supposed to be the senior enlisted officer for his battalion. He was supposed to be their command sergeant major. And he quit on them. He let those young men go to war while he cowardly stayed behind and deliberately dodged the deployment. But think about it. even if he went on the deployment, even if he did do the right thing and go with his men and lead his men into combat, even if he did do the right thing, what he just said right there is enough for you to not vote for this ticket and to not vote for John Tester either. He just gave a full-throated embrace of gun control measures. Yesterday, I played the clip from the NRA on Instagram, shared a soundbite of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz embracing a ban of ARs. They want to take the most popular rifle in America and ban it. That alone should be a disqualifier. He could be a total war hero, but he wants to take away your guns. Sorry, not getting our vote. But not only that, but did you hear what he said even before he claimed that he carried a weapon in war when he never went to war? He got deployed to Italy. I don't want to get deployed. I'm ready to retire. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like we are fighting for freedom right here on this radio show and right here in America. That's the fight for freedom right now. That's why we're going to be at the Trump rally Friday night, because we're fighting for freedom in America. This is the fight for freedom that matters right now. But, you know, if you had to get deployed, Italy, that'd be a rough one, huh? Yeah, real rough deployment. And by the way, because he dodged the deployment and because he stepped down, I wonder what political connection got him that favor, right? He got busted down in rank. He didn't retire as a command sergeant major. He didn't retire as a sergeant major. So he's been lying about that also. What a straight up phony, stolen valor. That's why I say the Walz may be closing in on Walz and the Democrats here. But the other big thing that he said there in that soundbite where he lied about going to war and carrying a gun in war. He wants to do away with reciprocal carry. So if you have a concealed weapons permit right now and that works in Utah and Montana and, you know, this state or that state, he wants to take that away from you. So even if he was the hero that he claims to be, he shouldn't get up.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, another Molson Coors barley harvest is underway across our region. And for Huntley, Montana farmer Greg Gable, it's one of his favorite times of the year.
Barley looks pretty good. We had a great beginning to the growing season, nice and cool, and it got real hot and dry real fast. The barley still looks good, and we're just ready to get it out and get it to Coors.
Now, the barley harvest is wrapped up in northern Colorado for Molson Coors and is nearing the end in Wyoming's Bighorn Basin, with harvest just beginning in Idaho and northern Montana. Zach Zarnecki is the Molson Coors Brewing Material Agronomist in Colorado. And during barley days at the Molson Coors farm near Monta Vista, he told me they take a lot of pride in raising the best barley in the world.
We've worked a long time at this. This farm has been here since 1949, and the agronomy program has been here about just as long as that. So we're working to find the best barley varieties we can for these guys, and my job is to get out in the field and give them my opinion so that they can make the best crop they can for us so we can brew the best beer in the world. And for me, the most satisfying part is just being out there in the field, meeting these guys and just having a beer with them, discussing what they're doing on their farm and how we can make it as best we can be.
And Molson Coors Chief Supply Chain Officer Brian Earhart says that Bill Coors nailed it when he said you can't have great beer without great barley.
Yeah, I mean, we like to talk to our growers because they think about acres and hundredweight, and we think about beer and the output of that beer. So I shared recently with the growers that 1 acre of barley generates over 100,000 servings of Coors Light and Coors Banquet.
On that note, we certainly want to wish everyone a safe and successful 2024 harvest. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Land Trust is a Montana Farm Bureau member benefit that partners with farmers, ranchers, and other landowners to simply and safely generate income from their land's recreational value. Through hosting guests for activities like bird watching, fishing, hunting, and more, Land Trust landowners are generating income from their land. Montana Farm Bureau members earn 90% of every completed booking of the member's property, and members receive a waived first sportsman booking fee when booking their first experience with Land Trust. Learn more at mfbf.org.
Has your bank lost touch with your operation or doesn't seem well-versed in agriculture? Why not finance with people who understand your business? At Montana Livestock Ag Credit, we have a credit staff and a board of directors whose only business is agriculture. We've worked with our customers through the challenging times of dry weather and rising interest rates. Give me, Blake Hopman, a call at 1-800-332-3405 or visit us at ag-credit.com to learn more about who we are.
Well, USDA scientists have completed animal challenge studies showing that infecting dairy cows with H5N1 in a laboratory setting can trigger clinical signs of disease similar to those of naturally infected animals on farms. They say understanding more about how the virus infects cows and how the disease progresses in animals is absolutely essential in developing vaccines. Now, the bird flu virus associated with the dairy cattle outbreak was first detected in a Texas dairy cow back in March. And since then, 172 confirmed cases of infected dairy cows have taken place in 13 states. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I forget where I put it here, but let me see if I can search for it real fast, because I want to use his own words here. I had a great message from Evan in Belt yesterday that came in on our Montana Talks app. Let me see here. Maybe this is the one here. Let's see. Oh, this is one that just came in a few minutes ago. Dong! Breaking news, Kamala and Tim tearing down walls to build up illegals and burning down cities while destroying livelihoods. She lays herself down to climb the ladder while he puts tampons in little boys' bathrooms to absorb their innocence. Harris walls, turning republics against serene humanity. Trash is the acronym there. Anyway, that was one from Evan and Belt. Oh, this is the one I was looking for, though. This is the one I was looking for. This one came in yesterday, and I apologize. I missed this one, Evan, or at least missed sharing it on the air. I read it, but I didn't get a chance to share it on the air for some reason. He said this: is it just me, or are there others out there who wonder why a sergeant major, or even a master sergeant, or a first sergeant, or hell, even a E5, E6, E7. Anyway, he says, is it just me, or are there others out there who wonder why a sergeant major would travel to China some 30 times? I'd sure like to have that explained, or should I say exposed. And they call us weird. So Evan and Belt, he's one of our great listeners. He's a Air Force veteran, and so always great to get his take on things that are going on out there. But it's a very good question. And in fact, that inspired me to send a tweet to Kurt Schlichter. Kurt Schlichter is an Army veteran as well. He joined us a while back on the show. Maybe we should get him back on the show again. I do have Christina Wong. Is the national security correspondent for Breitbart News. She's going to be with us here in a few minutes. And so we're going to get her take on this. But this is the question that I threw out there to Kurt Schlichter, because he's been going after Tim Walz for multiple instances now of stolen valor. This is the question I threw out there. I said, hey, Kurt Schlichter, with a DUI, remember John Jackson told us earlier in the week that Walz got a DUI and he lied to the police. He claimed to be deaf. He claimed to be deaf, and he said that's why he couldn't understand the blue. I mean, so the guy lied about being deaf to try to get out of a DUI. But anyway, with a DUI, sometimes a DUI, you can lose your security clearance over a DUI alone, right? But with a DUI and several Chinese government paid for trips to China, do we know if Tim Walz had or held a security clearance? I mean, if he was supposed to be the command sergeant major for his battalion and he was supposed to lead his men into Iraq before he dodged the deployment, you would think he had a security clearance. How did he have a security clearance with this in his background?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Arrested in Vienna, Austria, a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old accused of planning to kill as many people as possible with knives or homemade explosives outside a Taylor Swift concert.
A tragedy has been prevented, says Austria's interior minister, Gerhard Karner. Austrian security officials say they found Al-Qaeda and ISIS material at the home of the younger suspect, and that the older one fully confessed his plans. All three sold-out concerts this week have been cancelled.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Republican VP candidate J.D. Vance accuses the Democrats' running mate Tim Walz of falsely suggesting he served in combat and of ducking the war in Iraq.
I'd be ashamed if I was him and I lied about my military service like he did.
Vance served in Iraq as a Marine military journalist. Walz served 24 years in the Army National Guard, then retired in 2005 to run for Congress months before his unit was sent to Iraq. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, let's get into the phone lines here. Tim in Billings. What's going on, Tim?
Good morning, Aaron. I'm not surprised that Walz never lost that security clearance if he had one, because we have had an inept portion of the Department of Defense forever. I don't know if you saw the hearing last week, but there was a gentleman, and I can't remember what his title was, but he was talking about preparedness. As the military, are we prepared? And he was talking about how the Department of Defense, the division he was in, where they sit and game plan all this stuff, and they try to decide which threats are the most probable and most likely and how prepared they are. And they just couldn't foresee that Russia, China, Iran, North Korea might all work together against the United States. It completely dumbfounded them, and he said that we were not prepared for that.
He lied to Congress.
If they can't figure out that those four adversarial countries might work together against the United States, they've got the focus of a high school boy on prom night. They've got tunnel vision. Mm. They're idiots.
Well, they're not. This guy's a liar. I will tell you that. Remember when, I don't know if you got to meet General Michael Flynn when he came to Billings and they showed his Flynn documentary. When did General Flynn really piss off the swamp? So he was serving as Barack Obama's, President Obama's DIA director, Defense Intelligence Agency. Huge position, right? And Obama was trying to downplay ISIS, trying to downplay the ISIS terrorist threat. Oh no, mister, good people, no problem. No, good people, right? Saying garbage I heard in the streets of Ramadi, Iraq and in Afghanistan as well. Oh no, good people, no problem. Really? Why did a bomb go off down the street? Okay, whatever. What do you think this is? A Taylor Swift concert? Good night here. So they were telling him that he needed to tout the party line. And General Flynn was like, but it's a lie. I run the Defense Intelligence Agency. I see all the intelligence. I've vetted this intelligence. It's not a lie. No, ISIS is expanding. They're rapidly growing. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't lie before Congress. And that's when they started isolating him. And that's why
And he was not a conservative prior to that.
No, he was a Democrat. He was a Democrat. But he was a Democrat that couldn't lie, which is why they had to go after him with everything. And what he says in the Flynn documentary is that he knew where the bodies were buried. He knew the swamp from inside. And that's why they had to go after him. And they could not allow him to stay inside of the Trump administration. So that's why they went after him. Tim, great to hear from you. Christina Wong next.
Montana State News Network. Good morning, I'm Dennis Bragg. Although there have been a rash of smaller fires from lightning strikes, the cooler and often wetter weather is giving firefighters some advantage of catching up on major fires across Montana. The only large out-of-control fires this morning are the Gilbert Ranch Fire, which has burned just under 4,000 acres in eastern Blaine County, and the Grouse Fire in the eastern Pioneers, where growth has slowed and crews have been able to get a 5% containment on that 3,700-acre blaze. The Newark County Line Garfield Fire has now burned just over 500 acres. While a few counties in western and southwest Montana were still at Stage 2 fire restrictions last night, most have dropped back to Stage 1, which allows fires in established campgrounds and recreation areas. Cleanup continues today in Billings, with the city setting up 7 different locations for people to drop off their storm debris. Those sites will be in operation through the 24th with a full map on the city's website. Residents are being asked to leave their smaller debris in the city's green bins as much as possible. There will be no curbside collection. Former President Trump's visit to Bozeman tomorrow is meaning a mini business boom for the city, especially among all the vendors selling merch to his supporters, as Derek Wolf reports.
If you plan on attending the Donald Trump rally in Bozeman on Friday night and need to stock up on Trump gear, we've got good news. There are multiple pop-up locations around Bozeman that are selling hats, shirts, signs, and flags supporting the 45th President of the United States ahead of his Montana visit. The rally will take place at Brick Breeden Fieldhouse at MSU on Friday. Trump will take the stage at 8 p.m. in Bozeman. I'm Derek Wolf for the Montana State News Network.
And some big news for Montana's housing crunch. The Department of Commerce allocating more than $10 million in grants to communities and affordable housing agencies across the state.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app or visit montanastatenews.com.
If I could be you,
and you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in 2 different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
For eligible.
This is where Montana talks. Montana talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, if you're losing CNN, even CNN is now fact-checking this guy. They've even now, you can see on a lot of their coverage, they're trying to defend him. They're trying to rally around Tim Walz in the midst of really multiple offenses when it comes to stolen valor that are now very well documented. We've got more audio that I can share with you here later in the morning. Pete Hegseth, he's on Fox and Friends on the weekend. We got a chance to see him here in Montana a few years ago. He went off on Sean Hannity's program last night. See, Pete Hegseth, for those of you who didn't know this, he's from Minnesota. So he knows Minnesota, and he also is a fellow veteran. I know he served in Iraq, maybe Afghanistan too, but he is he's a fellow combat veteran. And so he is calling out Tim Walz, he's calling him Tim Walz, for, you know, lying about serving in war when he did not. And then also he's going after him for bailing on his deployment and bailing on the men that would have that were serving underneath him. And these young kids that went to war while he cowardly stayed behind. Anyway, we've got Christina Wong, a national security correspondent for Breitbart News. I think she used to work for ABC News before that, overseas. And actually, Christina, I think, well, first off, great to have you back on the show. You were in Iraq, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Hey, Aaron. Thank you so much for having me on. So, yes, I have gone to Iraq, but that was later with the then Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, but I spent more time in Afghanistan. So I was in Afghanistan for about 2 months reporting over two different trips. So I embedded with the Marine Corps, an Air Force unit, and the headquarters in Kabul, and spent much longer just covering the conflict. I have a lot of friends from the Global Wars on Terror. I sort of began my military reporting career covering the Iraq and Afghanistan war. So one could say, you know, these wars are sort of near and dear to my heart.
Well, and you're the daughter of a Vietnam veteran, if I recall, as well. And so you know, these issues are important to you. And that's what I appreciate about your reporting. I think the first tweet of yours that caught my eye yesterday was, if you're losing CNN, wow. Even CNN called this guy out.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it started as sort of this esoteric debate among veterans, and I think some veterans weren't expecting this to blow up, so to speak, but it really has. I think because it's just a very sensitive issue, just lying about your military service, because as Americans, we respect military service. And so if you're lying about that, that's a really bad thing. No one likes politicians, and no one likes politicians that lie about military service. And it's not just, you know, one thing. Like you mentioned, it's three different things. There's that viral clip where he says he carries weapons of war in war. And then there's other clips where he said, he served in the Afghanistan war. You know, he kind of couches his words to not outright lie, but just kind of suggest that he deployed into war. And then, as you mentioned, he retired from the military, even though his contract had two more years, right before his unit deployed to Iraq. And he was the top enlisted soldier of his unit. So he's the guy that would sort of provide morale and encouragement for the other folks. He's the senior guy that would buck up the younger folks. And that deployment was really rough. Multiple guys were killed. Some were injured. In fact, one of them, I've known for years, actually, he lost his arm on that deployment. So he's pretty pissed off. There's a lot of people who are really pissed off. And it's the media right now, I mean, besides, I guess, from CNN, although there are some other folks on CNN, they're trying to sort of excuse it, calling those veterans right wing, or like, oh, these are just conservative veterans out for, you know, trying to make political points, but they're not all. It's not just these two guys who are Republican conservatives. There are, you know, other folks, younger folks who were on that deployment who are very pissed off. And not to mention, I mean, veterans are just, as you probably know, you know, just pissed off about the idea of your enlisted leader bailing on you, the guy who's supposed to get you ready. And, you know, 2005, that was a really rough time in the Iraq War. I was there.
I was in Ramadi, Iraq, which was, you know, known as the Wild West. And because I was supposed to deploy with a unit that was in southern Baghdad, but then they got pushed down to southern Iraq, where it was less intense. So I went to the S1 at Camp Shelby, and I said, hey, I don't think those guys need me. Can I go with these other guys that are in Ramadi, because I'm here training up? I went as a volunteer replacement. So I was at Camp Shelby, Mississippi, when those Minnesota National Guard guys were there. And you're right. They had a brutal deployment. I mean, they not only did they have to, you know, I was kind of lucky because I was just a volunteer replacement. So I did the quick train up at Camp Shelby, and then I went straight into Iraq. Those guys were stuck there for, I think, 6 months training up for that. And then they got extended while they were – it turned into a two-year deployment for these guys, and your sergeant major bailed on you? I mean, that's – I don't think people understand just how ticked off these Minnesota soldiers actually are, these Minnesota veterans actually are.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you did the opposite thing. You volunteered for a tougher deployment. He just bailed. And I think that you're right that you know, I've seen some commentary on social media of like, oh, can you please decipher this for normal folks? I think, you know, a lot of normal folks don't really understand what his role was as a senior enlisted guy. I mean, he's supposed to provide the backbone. He is the backbone of the unit. I mean, these young guys are headed into war. It's terrifying. It's terrifying for them. It's terrifying for the families, for the spouses, for the children. And like you said, it was not a easy time back then. And their deployment lasted, as you said, for 22 months, you know, 2 years. Think about all the sacrifice. And meanwhile, what did Waltz do? He was running for Congress. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to break down the timeline of what he knew when, because he's been trying to use this slippery language to sort of imply, oh, you know, I retired before I knew. But I mean, he's made so many statements. It's not difficult to sort of pinpoint why what he said at what time. I mean, for instance, he said that, and this is one of the claims. He said he's a retired command sergeant major, which is an E-9. That's yep. a rank.
The most senior enlisted you can – that's the highest you get as an enlisted yep. troop. Yep.
Yes, and he's bragged about it multiple times, saying, I am the highest enlisted non-commissioned officer to serve in the U.S. House. And we don't know if that's true anymore. I mean, I have to do more research, but – so he actually retired at a lower rank because he didn't fulfill the requirements to retire as a command sergeant major. But yet that hasn't stopped him. And if you go on his official website,
he didn't go to the command sergeant or the sergeant major academy. The sergeant major academy. He dodged a deployment. And so he got busted down in rank basically before he retired. But yet he still wanted to campaign on that rank and help himself and campaign on the backs of the very troops he abandoned.
Exactly. And, you know, in this respect, he sort of reminds me of Joe Biden. Just, you know, he's this craven political animal that acts like he's just this everyday, you know, folksy guy who's just one of us and hunts and this and that, you know. And I think there's this, you know, he claims to be a head coach of a football team, but now it's coming out that he was probably the assistant coach. So, I mean, his background is ripe for the Redding. And I think, you know, there's going to be a lot more that's going to come out about him. It kind of raises the question, you know, did the campaign even vet him? You know, like, what kind of vetting did they do?
Well, they probably read the same fake news media reports in out of Minnesota. Yeah. The Minnesota press obviously clearly failed because they're just partisan Democrats that are propaganda. I mean, in fact, one of them, a guy by the name of Daryl Ehrlich, used to be the editor of the Billings Gazette, and he was too liberal even for the Billings Gazette. Now he has a fake news liberal blog called The Daily Montanan. And he admitted that they embedded a reporter in the Walls campaign when he was in Minnesota. And all they did was this glowing, featurey powder puff coverage. Wow, all of this stuff never got reported on, even though you had an embedded reporter in there. Hey, Christina Wong with Breitbart News, can you stick around for a few more minutes? I got to hit a hard break here in just a second.
Sure, sounds good.
Perfect. All right, stand by. Yeah, because, definitely want to get your take on – I mean, there's more to this story, unfortunately, and I want to get more of Christina Wong's take. So more with Christina Wong, national security correspondent for Breitbart News, live right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You've got to run around, do an end run around the state-run media mob. They're not going to vet Kamala Harris, and they're not going to vet Tim Walz. They're going to let them get off pretty much scot-free. It's the equivalent of allowing Joe to hide in his basement all throughout the 2020 campaign under the guise of COVID. There's no outrage. There's no indignation at the fact that Harris and Walz have yet to do an interview. I'm sure there's one coming. But it's going to be by a friendly interviewer, which is fine. But when are they going to be asked about the very things that they have said and advocated for? Is that ever going to happen?
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 40-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost you about $100 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-TERM-LIFE. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-TERM-LIFE. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-TERM-LIFE. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. For affordable term life insurance, call 800-TERM-LIFE. That's 800-TERM-LIFE.
Results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thanks to Christina Wong, national security correspondent with Breitbart News, for joining us on the show here. Christina, it was great chatting with you a little bit more during the break as well, because you've got so many friends and people that you're close to that have served and sacrificed so much since, over 20 years now, since 9/11. But, you know, one thing I want to point out, too, is, on the good news side is, what I love about J.D. Vance, President Trump's running mate, is he's a Marine. He served in Iraq. He did his commitment. But he doesn't overplay it. He doesn't pretend to be G.I. Joe. He doesn't make up a bunch of stuff like this Tim Walz character is doing with his stolen valor claims. Tim Walz, who never went to Iraq or Afghanistan. Whereas, J.D. Vance is, he doesn't overplay his hand. Like, he was a public affairs guy, I think, with the Marines. But he was a Marine nonetheless, and he went to Iraq nonetheless. But I think the American people would respect you more if you just say what you did. Like, they just respect the fact that you served. You don't need to make Adam Schiff up here, right?
And not to take away from J.D. Vance at all, but, he's a young guy. I think he just turned 40. I mean, he grew up in, the age of social media, but you have, like, older guys like Tim Walz, who's been going around for decades saying whatever. And so you have that 2018 clip where he talks about, carrying weapons of war. He directly implies he carried a gun in war. And so, it's really hard to refute that. This is his own words. But what's even funnier is that the Harris-Walz campaign put that out on their own,
account. Yeah, such a tough guy. Look at tough guy Tim Walz here. I wonder, maybe he did carry a gun in war. Maybe he did walk the streets of Mogadishu, Minnesota, the war zone that he created in Minnesota. Maybe that's what he did, Somebody joked, with President Trump actually taking a bullet for we the people. Donald Trump has even seen more combat than Tim Walz has seen.
Yes, exactly. I think that someone is me. But you know what? I saw that too, so you can accuse me of stolen valor there. It's all sort of, it's all one big pot of good commentary. There's no end to this controversy, I don't think. I think this will plague Walz throughout the end of, however long his campaign lasts. It's easy to take a shot at this. It's really kind of goes at his trustworthiness, like with Kamala Harris. Between the two of them, how many things have they made up? Between Harris's record and now you've got Walz's stolen valor claims, and so it's who knows what she was thinking, you know, or the her campaign was thinking when she chose him.
Well, she couldn't pick the Jewish guy because, you know, the anti-Semitism has the permanent grip on the Democrat Party now. So she couldn't pick the Jewish guy. So she had to go with Stolen Valor guy instead, who's just as crazy, Tampon Tim, who's just as crazy left-wing as she is. Another Tim, a great Tim, Tim in Savage, Montana, he made a good point here, too. He just messaged us on the Montana Talks app. He says, so Christina Wong spent a great deal more time in a war zone than the war hero governor of Minnesota.
Yeah. Pretty. You know, it's funny because there's this trend going on where on social media where people are posting their pictures of them deployed to war saying, here's me not being Tim Wolf. And if you look at my account, I've got me in Afghanistan, and I thought, you know, just about posting that tongue in cheek, you know, making it very clear that I was there as a reporter, wasn't in combat, you know. But
that's right.
You know, I probably spent more time in Afghanistan.
Be a Tim Walz, just embellish it, have some fun with it. Christina Wong, such a pleasure.